your hand up and Pastor Matt will get it to you. Hopefully I printed enough. Let's pray while you guys are waiting. Keep your hands up if you need one. He's still going. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had so far, testifying to your goodness, praying for your mercies. Lord, as we open your word now, again to the book of Proverbs, we ask that you would guide us in the way of wisdom, Lord, that you would teach us how to be a truth-telling people, to be honest in all that we do, all that we say, all of our actions, Lord, that we would be an honest people, and that falsehood would be far from us. Lord, we are your people, and we want to reflect your glory. Continue to shape us into the image of Jesus. You have promised to do so, and we trust you to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to be looking at Proverbs on honesty today. If you've been with us, we've been going through various topics that the Proverbs cover. And I believe last time we met was 2 weeks ago. Well, last time we went over Proverbs was 2 weeks ago, and we went over pride and humility and then counsel, and now we are doing honesty. The Proverbs have a lot to say on the way we speak, on the content of our words, on our honesty or dishonesty on the other hand. I believe there's somewhere like 40 verses here in Proverbs, and I may have missed some. The handout has, as I've been putting together, a whole list of the Proverbs printed out for you so that you can use it as a guide. You can have it in your, you know, at home. You can as a reference. Feel free to add more to them, because I may have missed some that speak on this very topic. And we have plenty here to cover the content of for tonight. What I'm trying to do is break down, take the Proverbs, find all the Proverbs that there are on a topic. So in this case, honesty. And then to look through them all and try to find common themes through them. And so sometimes we'll get three, sometimes we'll get four. In this case, there's six main ones that I found. You could probably find more than that. But we'll try to cover those six tonight. If not, we'll go back to it next week and finish it up. So let us begin with talking about the Proverbs tell us that the Lord delights in truth-telling. The Lord delights in truth-telling. He delights in us being an honest people. He delights in lips that speak the truth and not lies. Look at Proverbs 12:22. Say that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. If you remember, we've encountered this word many times so far, abomination in Proverbs. Abomination means it is repulsive to God. It's disgusting to them. It's something that he hates. It's something that he will judge. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It's something that is repulsive to him. He finds it disgusting. But on the other hand, those who act faithfully, those whose path is characterized by truth, by honesty, he delights. He delights in that person. He delights in those who are truthful, who speak the truth, who do not have any falsehood in them. Isn't it one of the apostles? Is Nathanael one of the apostles? I just remember Jesus talking about Nathanael and saying that there was nothing evil in him. There's no falsehood in him. He was pure. He was truthful. And that's what God loves. And remember, we cannot lose sight in this study on Proverbs that we are speaking to those who are in Christ, those who have the spirit of wisdom, those who are being sanctified by the Lord, those who are already in Christ, already been saved. We're not talking about how we get saved when we're studying Proverbs. We're not talking about how we get to God, how we have a relationship with God. We're talking about how those who know God live. And those who know God are honest people. Those who know God speak the truth. God speaks the truth. God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we're going to reflect Christ, then we need to be those who love the truth and who speak the truth. And we see here in Proverbs that the Lord delights in truth telling. He delights in it. He delights in it. But as we see here, contrasted that, he hates lying. He hates deceitfulness. He hates those who speak lies from their lips. It's an abomination to him. It's wickedness. And so falsehood ought to be far from us, shouldn't it? It should be far from the believer. It should be far from those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and who are filled with his Spirit. The second thing we see as we go through Proverbs is that truth tellers are a blessing to others. Those who speak the truth are truly a blessing to others, to their neighbors, to those around them, to their brothers and sisters. Look at Proverbs 19:22. What is desired in a man is steadfast love, and a poor man is better than a liar. The word steadfast love is hesed, it's covenant faithfulness. What is desired in a person, in a man, is that they would be steadfast, that they would be faithful, that they would be an honest people, someone that can be trusted in a relationship. This is used often of God, that he is a God who is faithful to the covenant, that he is faithful to the covenant that he has. And God's people ought to be faithful to the covenants that they have, to be faithful to our covenant with God, to be faithful to the covenants that we have and with other people, with our spouses. We make a covenant before God when we get married. And so we ought to be faithful. We ought to be upright in that relationship. Or in this church, when we come into membership, we call it covenant membership, that we come into a covenant with one another. We make a covenant with one another to look out for the good of one another, to build up one another. And part of that is being truthful to one another, speaking the truth to one another. And it's something that is desirable in another person. You would much rather be surrounded by truthful people than liars, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather be around people who are going to tell you the truth about something, even if it hurts sometimes? Than people who lie to you, people who twist the truth, people who bend the truth, deceive. Now, what's desirable in a man is truthfulness. It's to be that they're a faithful person. It says, but a poor man is better than a liar. Now, this is not saying that poor people are, you know, in a less desirable place. It's saying that it's better, essentially, it's better to be poor and to be truthful than it is to be rich and a liar. It's better to have poverty. It's better not to have a bunch of things and to be someone who is honest than to be someone who lies and gains through deceit and through lies. It may be said that good guys finish last, but that's not true, as we learned this morning. And from Pastor Matt, as he preached through Matthew, it's the last who will be first and the first who will be last. And it's much better to lose everything because you told the truth than it would be to gain everything and be a liar. Look at Proverbs 24:26. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. It's kind of a strange one. It's like, I don't really want people walking around kissing me on the lips. The idea here is that people who give an honest answer is someone that you can be close to, someone that you can have an intimate relationship with, someone that you can have that honest closeness with. And it's something that's desirable. So an honest answer draws people together. When people speak the truth, it makes closer bonds. But when people tell lies, it breaks relationships. We'll see that in some of the Proverbs, that it destroys friendships, family relationships, relationships in the body. Lies and deception destroy. Whereas truth-telling builds intimacy, builds closeness. This is what Proverbs tells us. Proverbs 25:14. This is another. Now, we're going to get into now, those were the positives, but we can always tell what a truth is by also seeing the negative. And so we're going to look at a few of the negatives of not being a truth-teller. 25:14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. See, we can believe that we're honest people, right? And we don't tell these big lies. We don't, you know, we're not telling lies to try to hurt people. So we tell lies to make people feel better. You know, that's when a lie is okay, right? That's when it's okay to be deceptive. It's when you're telling what we've called white lies, when we're using flattery. And that's what this proverb is talking about. It's someone who says that they're going to give a gift to someone and they're promising gifts. They're saying, I'm going to give you this awesome gift. And they're making the other person feel good because in the moment they feel like that, I don't know, whatever reason you might have for doing that. Maybe you think the person's upset with you. Maybe you think that, you know, you're trying to get in their good graces. And so you boast all these promises of all the good things that you're going to do for them, but then you never follow through. You never do it. You never actually fulfill their promise, never actually do what you said. You don't keep your word. And so it says you're like clouds and wind without rain. Now remember, in this culture, rain, very important in this part of the world. You're talking about in the desert where they relied on rain to live, to have food. We don't really know what that's like. We just run over to Meijer over here or go to the store. Every store you drive by is filled with food. And you have plenty of food at our disposal. But in an agricultural society who lived and relied on rain, it would be devastating to see the clouds coming in and when there's a, you know, dry spout and the clouds are coming and it looks like, oh, the rain's coming, the wind's blowing, this is going to be a good day, our crops are going to get some rain today, and then it never comes. It goes the other way or the clouds, you know, dissipate and there's no rain. It's a letdown. And that's what someone who boasts of a gift and doesn't give it. It's like clouds and wind without rain. It's deceitful and it's lying. We need to be careful that we are people of our word. That when you tell someone you're going to do something for them, you do it. And if you're hindered from doing it, that you tell them why. That you come to them and say, listen, I was really planning on doing this and such happened. But it's all about the intention of the heart, right? If we're just trying to flatter people, we're just trying to build them up to make ourselves feel better, to make them like us more, but we have no intentions of doing what we say, then we are deceitful and the truth is not in us. But we must be a people who are truthful in all that we do. And when we tell someone we're going to do something or we tell them we're going to give them something, we need to do it. We need to give it. Sometimes in the moment we're like, oh, I'll give you this. And then we get greedy, right? And we start thinking about it. I'm like, oh, but I really like this. I really like my bike that I was going to give this person. I really like my couch that I was going to give away. Why am I going to do that? And then we get greedy and then we come up with an excuse of why we can't do it now. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. And Proverbs is really practical, isn't it? Practical to the point where even when we're talking about if we're going to give a gift to someone, if we say it, we do it. Proverbs 26:18-19. I like this proverb a lot. It's a fun one. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I am only joking. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, really cut someone down? You gave it to them. You knew it hurt too. I mean, you knew that this is a soft spot. You knew that this is something that's a weakness in them. And so you just zing them. You give it to them straight. You know, you just pound them down. And then when you see them hurt, then you just turn on and you're like, oh no, I was just joking. I was just joking. I wasn't being serious. I don't really think that about you. That's wicked. That's deceitful. You're deceiving your neighbor when you do that. You're deceiving someone when you do that. And really, your heart is wicked. Your heart is to cut them down and to destroy them. Your heart is to bring them low and to hurt them. Is it okay to bring someone's sin to them and rebuke them? Yes, isn't that what we talked about last time? We were in Proverbs that the wise love to be rebuked and that the wise give rebuke. So it's okay when it's meant for the good of another, when you're trying to build them up. But you know the difference, right? You know the difference when you bring something to someone to build them up and when you're doing it just to crush them, just to hurt them. And usually accompanied with that is the phrase here, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I didn't really mean it. Are we truthful? Are we truthful with others? Are we those who use a pat phrase to try to cover up why we said something hurtful to someone? And it says we're like firebrands, arrows, and death. We destroy those around us when we do that. We destroy our relationships. We destroy people when we act that way. Verses 23 through 28 of the same chapter, chapter 26. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel, our fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Pretty strong words here, huh? This is, again, speaking to the point that truth tellers are a blessing to others, but those who are deceptive, those who are liars, you're a curse to others. If your speech is characterized by lying and deception, then you're a curse. You're a curse to those you come in contact with. I don't want to be a curse. What about you? I'd much rather be a blessing from the Lord. And that requires that we be truth tellers, that we be those who speak the truth in love. We also see here in this verse, and there's another proverb that says this too, that a lot of times what we're going to get into next with slander is that it starts with hatred in the heart. When we start slandering others and deceiving others, it starts with a hate in our hearts for others. When we really don't love people when we lie to them, do we? We're really not. What is the fulfillment of the law? Love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And so when we're deceptive, when we're lying, we are not loving and we are not fulfilling the law. We are destroying and we are cutting down and we are hateful. And that's where it begins in the heart. You know, we can do all sorts of things to be deceptive, can't we? We can, you know, someone can come to us in the body and they want to spend some time with us. They want to get to know us more. And you know, you're just not fond of that person. You're not really interested in getting to know them. So they're like, you know, would you like to do something on such and such day? And so you're like, oh yeah, let me look at my calendar. Oh, I'm busy on that day. Oh, no, I'm busy on that day too. Yep, nope, I'm busy on that day too. Lying to fulfill your own desires. Lying to not love another. This ought not to be true of us, saints. This ought not to be true of those who are in Christ. The third thing Proverbs teaches us about honesty, and that is about slander. That slander, is that the third one in your notes? I might have mixed that up in. Huh? Yes? Okay, good. Slander is an action of the fool. It's fools who slander another. What does it mean to slander? It means to use false information to destroy someone's reputation, to cut them down, to assassinate their character. And it's using false information or information that you don't have all the facts on, information that you may have heard, but isn't necessarily true. And you're using it to destroy another. And this is how wicked people act. This is not how God's people ought to act. God's people are not to be slanderous. God's people are not to be cutting others down, assassinating other people's character. Proverbs 6, remember we've looked at this one a while back. Proverbs 6, if I can find it. 6:12-15. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger. With perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment he will be broken beyond healing. Remember, we talked about that the main emphasis of this passage is the continually sowing discord. And that the person who is a wicked person is someone who's shady, who's going around deceiving people and who's trying to break apart relationships, trying to cause disunity in the body. And that happens through slander, through cutting others down, through using false information or using information that you haven't yet verified to destroy another person. Proverbs 10:18 says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. It's again to the point that slander begins in the heart. It begins with hatred for another in the heart. It's concealing a hatred in your heart, not dealing with it. Pastor Matt preached a sermon very recently in Matthew about how we're to deal with sin in the body. That when we have an issue with someone, when someone sinned against us, or we see something wrong with another, that we're to go to them where? In private. We're to go to them in private and talk to them one-on-one. Bring it before them and try to work it through. And if they won't hear you, they won't respond to the rebuke, they won't respond to that time, then you can bring another witness, someone else who has seen the same thing or who can verify that too, and bring it to that, the two people can go. And if the person won't hear you, then you can bring it to the church, to the elders, and it can be dealt with in the courts of the church. But the person who hasn't dealt with their hatred lets it fester in the heart, and it produces slander. The hatred in the heart produces cutting down someone else. You're not going to them now, right? Now you're going to other people. And you're telling other people about all the things that you can't stand about this other person. Or you're telling other people all about the things that you've seen in this person and that you want to know if they've seen the same things. You know, spreading slander destroys the body, doesn't it? It destroys God's people. It destroys this church if we slander another. And so we need to be very careful that we follow Jesus' instruction. That if we have a problem, that we go in private. That if it won't be heard, then you bring another. And if they won't be heard, then you bring it to the church. That is the pattern for the church. We don't turn to slander. We don't turn to cutting down people and assassinating the character. Not bringing it before everybody else before we'll bring it to them. Proverbs 16:28 says that a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. A whisperer separates close friends. Slander destroys friendships. If you have a friend and you find out that they've been slandering behind your back, how much longer is that friendship going to last? Not long, right? You know you can't trust that person anymore. And you can't have a close friendship where there's no trust. And so the wisdom of Proverbs tells us that if you're going to go around slandering, you're going to go around destroying all the relationships that you have. You're going to be destroying every good gift that God has given you. You're going to be destroying all the people that He has brought into your life. And you will be very, very lonely. Very lonely. Another thing we see in Proverbs is that an evil fool bears false witness. Now that is another misprint. A couple misprints. Sorry, not false, bears false witness. Sorry about that. Proverbs 12:17 says, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit." Now, a lot of these proverbs dealing with being a false witness can take place in many contexts. One of them would be in a courtroom. In dealing in a law proceeding, in a place where in the ancient Near East, they would meet in the gates and the elders would be there, and that's where you would bring a case. And you always had to have two or three witnesses. It had to be able to be verified by two or three witnesses. One witness was not enough. Now, they didn't live in a time where they had forensic evidence and all these different things. So it required that there be eyewitnesses. It required that there be something that could be substantial, and that it be more than one, so that it couldn't be based on a false witness and on a lie. Now, witnesses are very important. They still are in court. Now, when you have a society that is filled with deception and lying, can you have much justice in the courts? No, you can't. And that's a lot of what we see in the world, what we see in our legal proceedings in this country. But we also have the courts of the church. We have the elder council where we bring disputes among the body. What does Paul say? You shouldn't be bringing a lawsuit against another believer into the courts of unbelievers. Instead, you should be bringing that within the church. We should be dealing with that among brothers and sisters. That's not something that needs to be brought outside of the church. Don't we have the wisdom and hopefully the godliness within the body that we can deal with strife and issues among brothers and sisters within the body? So that requires that we be a people who tell the truth, that we do not bear false witness within the body, but that we speak the truth, that we give honest evidence, as it says here in Proverbs 12:17, that is the person who speaks the truth. We give honest evidence. We don't utter deceit. We don't cut down another. We don't speak things that we can't verify, that we don't know is true. Now, something that we see in the Old Testament, if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 5, Leviticus chapter 5. In verse 1, it says this: if anyone sins and that he hears a public adjuration, is that how you say that? Adjuration, does anybody know? Yes, okay. If anyone sins and that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. Now, what is being envisioned here is that something has come up. There's an issue. There's a sin that's been brought out that needs to be dealt with. And the elders are calling forth for witnesses. They're calling forth for witnesses who have seen or who have come to know a matter, however they've come to know it, that they would come forward and that they would testify, someone who is a witness. And it says here that it is a sin that if you hear that call, that pleading for there to be witnesses to come forward, and you are a witness and you don't come, that you will bear the punishment for that. That you will bear the punishment for not bearing witness where you have seen a wrong. Now, if you look at Proverbs, the reason I bring that up is it's pertinent to Proverbs 29:24. I don't know if that's in the notes. It may not be. So you might need your Bibles. This is a very difficult verse, but let's try to explain. Verse 24 of chapter 29. The partner of a thief hates his own life. He hears the curse, but discloses nothing. Another way that this can be translated to kind of clarify what's going on here, because it's kind of convoluted, is that if a person does wrong when he has heard a public plead to come and bring witness, that is against withholding testimony, that witnesses would come forward like we just saw in Leviticus 5:1. And although he was a witness, either having seen or known the facts, yet does not testify, then he must bear his punishment. Point is this: if you know that there is something, you know the truth on a matter, and it's something that has been brought forward in the church that the church is trying to deal with, and you don't bring your witness, you don't bring the facts that you are guilty. You are guilty of what is happening there. You have blood on your hands for not bringing forward the truth, for not bringing forward what you know. Now, I can't recall any times that we've had an instance in our church right now where that has been the case, where we've needed that. But if it ever does happen, if there ever is a time where we're dealing with something in our body, we're dealing with a sin in our body, and you have facts to the truth, God's word says you are required to bring it forward. You are required to bring it, to not try to cover up for your friend, not try to cover up for your spouse. Indeed, much of the covering up of abuse in households happens with the spouse. Either a husband or a wife covering for their spouse is abuse of their children or other children. And you are just, you have blood on your hands if you are covering up for abuse. And it is something that must be brought forward. It must be brought forward in the church. It must be brought forward to the legal authorities. And so I take the time to say right now that if there's abuse that you know of in this church, in your family, any kind of whatever, physical abuse, sexual abuse, that you bring it forward. You bring it to the authorities. You bring it to the church. You do not leave that in the dark. Otherwise, you have blood on your hands. You need to be a witness to the truth. You need to save those who are being brought to the destruction, as it says in Proverbs. As you see, there's many, many proverbs on not bearing false witness. Many, many important proverbs. And these are all based on the ninth commandment, which is do not bear false witness. And if someone was a false witness, they were to be held guilty. And in most instances, there was the death penalty in the Old Covenant. One of the things that's important to note in the ninth commandment is that thou shalt not bear false witness. The same word there, the false, is the same. It's a synonym to the word using the Lord's name in vain. So in one instance, we have the idea of destroying the reputation of God by using his name in vain. That could be in your speech. That can actually be in your actions, too. Those who bear the name of God in Christ, who act contrary to his name, are taking the Lord's name in vain. And now in this commandment, the ninth commandment, the focus is on our relationship with others and that we are not destroying the reputation of others with false witnessing. Many times false witnessing can be brought forward to try to destroy another, couldn't it? To destroy their reputation or to destroy their character and something that's not true. It's directly connected with slander. I thought Waalkes' comments were very insightful here on the ninth commandment. One of the most fragile aspects of a person's life requiring protection is his or her reputation. Yet it is also the aspect most at risk by the abuse of others. He also talked about before this, and I thought it was very good to point out, that the point of this commandment is not protecting our own reputation, but the reputation of others. It's not bearing false witness against others. We give up our rights. If someone slanders us, we leave it to the vengeance of God. And we throw ourselves on his mercy. But we are to be a people who protect the reputation of others. It says here, politicians seek to destroy one another in negative campaigning. Gossip columnists feed off slander. And in Christian living rooms, reputations are tarnished or destroyed over cups of coffee served in fine china with dessert. These de facto courtrooms are conducted without due process of law. Accusations are made, hearsay allowed, slander, perjury, and wicked comments uttered without objection. No evidence, no defense. As Christians, we must refuse to participate in or to tolerate any conversation in which a person is being defamed or accused without the person being there to defend himself. It is wrong to pass along hearsay in any form, even as prayer requests. More than merely not participating, it is up to Christians to stop rumors and those who spread them in their tracks. How do we do that? How do you stop rumors, slander? Usually you can stop it with one phrase. Have you talked to the other person about that? Have you gone to them? Have you gone to them and talked about that? And you know very quickly that those who want to gossip to you or slander to you, they're going to know that you're not a safe place to gossip and slander. And you'd be calling them out on it. On the other hand, we need to be careful in our own hearts not to be the people who are sitting around slandering and defaming others' reputations, bearing false witness about them. in whether it's in prayer requests, whether it's over coffee and tea, and they're like, can you believe what so-and-so's done or what they've been doing? There is a time to get pastoral counsel. There is a time to get wisdom from others. And that's okay to bring things up if it's for the purpose of fixing and resolving a situation. But when it's meant to tear down another, when it's not meant to build up, then it's wickedness. It's just plain wickedness. Indeed, a person who bears false witness is called throughout Proverbs a person of worthlessness, of Belial. That is, someone who's wicked. The same word begins to be used of the devil by the New Testament. No different than the devil. To be an accuser, a deceiver, someone who goes around trying to tear others down. That's exactly what the evil one does. And if that's what we do, then that's who we're acting like. That's who we're living like. And that is not how God's people ought to live, is it? We are to reflect Christ, right? And Christ was a truth teller. Christ did not bear false witness. Christ spoke the truth in love. We'll cover the next couple next week as we're running out of time. And these I would like to really spend some time on, especially with our conduct in our business relation, you know, in the work world, that we be people who are upright. But let us go away with what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, and this is verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let us put away falsehood. And you know that in our theology that we are to, in our lives, in our actions, that when we put off something, what do? We put something on. We are to put off falsehood, lying, deception, and we're to put on truth. We're to put on speaking the truth to one another, to speak the truth with our neighbors. For why? He says, we are members one of another. That is, we're part of the same body. We are connected to one another in the body. And if you tear down your brother and your sister, you're tearing down yourself. You're tearing down the very body that you are a part of. So we are to speak the truth in love, building up one another in love. So let us be a people who speak the truth. I really hope that you'll take this outline and take these proverbs and go through them on your own. That you'll take them and you'll go through and see what the proverbs have to say about us being an honest people. That we wouldn't be a people who bend the truth, who twist the truth, who tell white lies. But that we'd be a people who are honest with our speech. That we'd be a people who speak the truth in love. That we'd be a people who can be trusted. That our yes would be yes and our no would be no. That we wouldn't be a people who are double-tongued. That we say one thing in one situation and another thing in another. That we would tell one person one thing and then we tell another thing. Liars have to have long memories, don't they? But those who tell the truth don't have anything to hide. Those who tell the truth don't have to keep track of all their convoluted webs of lying. A clear conscience, a truthful heart, a truthful mouth. Gives you a soft pillow to sleep on at night. Gives you a soft pillow to sleep on, knowing that you're not waiting for it to come out in the open for everybody to know. For you know, your sins will find you out. The truth will come out. The light will shine on the darkness, and the truth will be revealed. Start speaking the truth. And if you've lied, you got to go make it right. What is repentance? Turning around. Going the other way. And if you're repenting of a lie, then you need to go tell the truth. You need to go to the person that you lied to and you need to set it straight. You need to make it right. And I'm preaching to myself just as much as anyone here. When we tell a lie, we need to make it right. It's easy to let it go and be like, well, they'll never know. We'll sweep it under the rug and we'll just move on. I won't tell any more lies. But repentance means we're going to go. We're going to make the truth known. We're going to go and we're going to make it right. So let us be a people who speak the truth, who make right where we've made wrong, where we tell the truth where we may have told a lie. And all of us know that we have all told a lie. Who here can raise their hand and say that I have never lied? You're a liar. And so we throw ourselves, brothers and sisters, we throw ourselves on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. And we rely on His grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Oh Lord, we want to be people who tell the truth. Teach us to be truth tellers. Teach us to proclaim the truth in love, that there may be no deceit in our hearts, but that we be a people who are pure, and that we would be in the light as You are in the light. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You that though all of us here are liars, Lord, and deceivers, that You have loved us. And that You have drawn us to Yourself in Christ. And that You have made us a new creation. And that now we are putting off the old man and putting on the new. And that we are putting off falsehood and putting on truthfulness. Lord, may this church, may this body, may Your people here, may we be known as truth tellers. May we be known as those who speak the truth in love. May we be like You. Never bearing false witness, but always speaking the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.